You are listening to the Landon and Jeff Show, exclusively on DolphinsTalk.com. And now, here are your hosts, Landon and Jeff.
Welcome to episode 24 of the Landon and Jeff Show. I'm Landon.
And I'm Landon's dad, Jeff. Happy New Year to everybody who's listening. Thanks for making this show a part of your Dolphins listening. And Landon, we have a lot to talk about because Coach Adam Gase is no longer the coach of the Miami Dolphins. Mike Tannenbaum is no longer the executive vice president in charge of football operations. And Stephen Ross has said he's okay with us losing. What's your big reaction to the huge news?
I am so happy that Stephen Ross is finally okay with losing. It's been working out really well for teams like the Browns that have been losing. And they should have been a playoff team if they would have fired their coach earlier if they didn't. But they're going to be a pretty good team for years to come because they built their team off youth and off rookies. And they've been really successful. So I'm excited to begin the rebuilding process and hopefully surpass the success that the Browns have.
But here's what scares me, Landon, is that's a great example when it works because you got a Myles Garrett, because you got a Baker Mayfield, because you hit on a Nick Chubb. Other guys, you know, their ward, their cornerback they hit on. There's a lot of teams that have been trying this for years and years and years. Like, think about as bad as it is for Dolphins fans, and sorry to my good buddy Mike Matt for bringing this up, but, you know, the Detroit Lions have won one playoff game in 60 years, and they've been trying every which way to rebuild. If you don't hit the draft picks right every single time, if you take a quarterback, you know, for every quarterback that you can get at the top of the draft, there's one you draft at the top of the draft that's bad. I mean, we had the third pick in the draft a couple of years back, and they took Deion Jordan, and we all know how that worked out. So it's kind of a scary proposition. And the one thing that kind of scares me a little bit about Chris Greer is he's been a part of all these organizations, the good, you know, the last, you know, however many years he's been with Miami. He's been part of the good picks, but he's also been part of the bad picks. You know, he was definitely part of the room that agreed to pick Charles Harris. And I think we all know that's a pretty bad pick at this point. So if you're going to rebuild, that's fine. It's nice to say it. And it's nice to say, hey, look at the Browns. We can do what they can do. But you actually have to accomplish it. And I think this is an awful quarterback class. Next year may be better. And I'm wondering if that's what Stephen Ross is setting us up for, Landon. I'm wondering if after he was pretty angry for not picking Lamar Jackson this year, and we saw where that led to the playoffs. Not that it would have done it for us for sure, but you never know. I wonder if he's trying to tell those guys, let's not take the quarterback from Missouri. Let's not take the guy from West Virginia. Let's not take anyone for sure unless we know they're the right guy. And if we have to wait a year to get, like, yeah, I know you love Tua or some of the other guys, the guy from Oregon who's going to come out next year, maybe that's a better move.
Yeah, I'd agree. Maybe that's a better move. And as you were talking about, like, how teams have to hit picks, I feel like it is important to hit picks, but in the first round, there's always that guy who everyone knows is going to go first. Like this year, it's on the, what's his name, Nick Bosa. And last year, it was on the Baker Mayfield, not Baker Mayfield. It was a quarterback for the Browns, but the year before, it was Myles Garrett. Everyone knew who was going to go first round. And it sounds like our owner, Stephen Ross, wants us to get the first round pick in, like, consecutive years. So if that does happen, I feel like it's going to be easy picks for that. And we more or less have to worry about hitting the later round picks.
But let me ask you something. As a 13-year-old Dolphins fan, are you ready for the team to go 4-12 next year, 3-13? Are you going to like that?
I'm not going to like that. But as long as the rebuilding is promised and it's like plans and it's not something that it's just a team being bad and it's plans, unlike the Arizona Cardinals, it's planned, then I'll be okay with it.
All right. Well, let's remember that clip and let's see how you're feeling in a year from now. When we're losing game after game and Sunday after Sunday. What I think is pretty interesting is the reaction both of the national media and the local media and then the players to Adam Gase being fired. You know, Adam Gase clearly has some fans, Peyton Manning probably being the biggest one out there. He reportedly already has already lined up at least one interview with Arizona. We'll probably get a couple others because it doesn't hurt to interview anybody. And so many of the coaches that everybody has on the interview list, Landon, including almost every coach the Dolphins want to talk to, their teams are in the playoffs. So you can't talk to them other than certain windows anyway. So you might as well talk to somebody. But, you know, I think what to me is so interesting is, you know, Cam Wake was asked four times after the Buffalo game, should Adam Gase be retained? He just never answered it. And Kenyon Drake had a post on Instagram that cryptically kind of said, I don't want to be around Adam Gase. We all know the guys who left the Dolphins, the Jarvis Landrys, the Jordan Phillips, the Jay Ajayis. They didn't like Adam Gase. Clearly, there's a cultural chemistry issue with Adam Gase. And while I wish him well, and I do think he can be a good football coach, it just wasn't going to work in Miami with the way that he lost the locker room. So I think what's really important here, and I know Mike has said this on his pod, is we have to think twice between hiring another one of these young 30-something wizards. I know that's the hot move with Sean McVay and everything, but maybe a football lifer like a Mike Zimmer-style guy, like a Vic Fangio, who I'm very excited they're interviewing, maybe that's a better move.
Yeah, I do like the idea, but I feel like it's going to be a lot harder to find the guy like that when you're the Miami Dolphins. You just admitted you're going to be trying to lose games. And there's a lot more, like, admirable jobs, or not admirable, like, more better job, like, better jobs that you can take. Like, I guarantee any coach that is getting offered that's an older coach that knows what they're doing, I guarantee they much rather go to your Cleveland Browns, your New York Jets, because they all have their quarterback question solved. We don't. And if a coach joins our team and they flop on the quarterback pick, they're basically done, because Stephen Ross isn't going to wait 8 years, from what I'm hearing. He says that he wants to get, like, two good draft picks from this year and next year, and he wants to be a winning team that goes to championships. So if we miss on a quarterback, that coach is done. Where if you go to the team with the Jets, you already have Sam Darnold. If you go to the Browns, you have Baker Mayfield. So there's a lot more desirable options and areas you can go than the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah,
well, so I feel like it's going to be a lot harder to get those veteran coaches.
Well, I just read this morning that they ranked all the available jobs, and the only job ranked lower than the Miami Dolphins was the Cincinnati Bengals. And that makes sense, because their ownership is cheap. If nothing else, Stephen Ross will spend money and support the team. However, if you look at our division, you know, we have the Patriots, who've obviously been great forever. And as long as Belichick and Brady are there, they're going to be towards the top. And then the other two teams in our division have their quarterbacks. So you're right. It's a super tough job. But you know what, Landon? A guy like Vic Fangio, who's 60 years old, has never been offered a head coaching job in the NFL before. And if he gets offered one, he might just take it. You know, the question is, do you try to buy into someone too early and hope they grow into it? Do you buy into someone too late and hope that it's still okay? It's so difficult. But I do like, if you look at the list that's been published, and, you know, take it with a grain of salt, because none of these are confirmed until you actually have the interview and you see the guy. The list is pretty solid right now. We definitely are talking to the right people. And the good news is that, you know, this is, while there's such competition for jobs, with 8 jobs open, you know there'll be one or two that'll just be wacky, whether it's John Elway hiring Mike Shanahan again, or just a couple that'll be strange. So these candidates at some point are going to have to say, do I want to be a head coach in the NFL? Because you may never get the chance again. You know, Vic Fangio what if his defense becomes bad the next couple of years and people just kind of sour on him? He's as hot as he's ever going to be right now. So I think that some of these guys are going to have to take jobs. And yeah, ours may not be the most desirable, but it's still a football job in the NFL as a head coach. There aren't many of those, Landon. So you got to take it. What I do think is interesting, as I read Adam Gase, is going to go to Arizona. Apparently he didn't like Josh Rosen, so I wonder how that conversation is going to be. But I just hope at this point we can look at someone who can unify the team, unify the culture. You know, if you're going to bring in a Vic Fangio-style guy, you got to bring in a young offensive coordinator who can potentially run that side of the team. I just think that it's shifting, and that you got to find the right guy. The other thing, Landon, still don't rule out John Harbaugh, because you know that Ross is obsessed with the Harbaughs. That the biggest reason to rule him out right now is that he's given up control of the roster to Chris Greer, which I like, having Greer, not the coach, have control of the roster. But if John Harbaugh calls Stephen Ross and says, hey, I can leave, you know, I won't sign this extension with the Ravens. We can work out a deal for a 4th or 5th round pick to get me there, but I need control of the roster. What scares me is Stephen Ross, after doing this whole thing, will flip again. And that's what scares me, is the inconsistency of the team all the way from the owner on down. But you have to give them a little bit of credit, Landon, because Stephen Ross rebuilt Hard Rock Stadium in 2 years, and Armando Saguaro put it in his excellent column. It was bad for the first year. It was a little better the second year, but still pretty bad. And now it's a palace worthy of hosting the great events it's hosting. If he can do that with the football team, we'll be in good shape. And he's shown the patience with the building, but that's his industry. He's not a football guy. He's a real estate mogul. So it'll be really interesting to see. So of all the candidates, Landon, that are out there, are there a couple that kind of catch your eye as guys you'd be excited about as head coach?
I would be excited for the Harbaughs because they've been very good coaches for the teams they've gone to, like on the 49ers and on the Ravens. They've both been playoff teams. The Ravens currently are a playoff team. And they're both really good coaches. And I would love for them to go to Miami because we're almost in this state where they get to draft their quarterback, which they did last season. They got Lamar Jackson, which was a good choice. And then they almost formed the team around the quarterback really well. Like, they did it in a way that no one expected them to have it. Like, they got Michael Crabtree. They got Willie Snead. They've got a lot of people that no one really saw coming, but really saw them as big players. And then they came and they really made Lamar Jackson this really special quarterback, and they let him play his game. And I'm excited if we got to bring that to Miami, whether we're drafting a quarterback this year or next year. There's no way we're staying with Tannehill for much longer and whoever the current temporary replacement is. We're not staying with them for long. We have to draft a quarterback.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because, you know, we haven't drafted quarterbacks in so long. And you could say, oh, well, we have Luke Falk on the roster. I mean, there's a reason he was there in whatever round he was there, and he didn't even last through the first week of the season with the Titans. You know, we picked him up. I thought it was just to pick him up to see what the Titans were planning. But, you know, they definitely have to address that issue. The thing that I think is going to be interesting to me is they have all these guys like Robert Quinns and, you know, even Kenny Stills and TJ McDonald and these veteran players who Danny Amendola, who they can get rid of after this year. And yeah, they'll have some dead cap money, but it'll really clear everything up for next year. If you're not going to win next year, you don't need Danny Amendola and you don't need these guys. So I really am curious when Stephen Ross says he wants to blow it up and start over. I want to know what they're going to do. You actually have to have people play. You got to get somebody out there, and you can't just have all undrafted free agents and rookies. But their salary cap is in such awful, awful status. Maybe this is the year you just do it, where you cut or trade Tannehill, you just let everybody go, and you just bite the bullet. I mean, and Ndamukong Suh were on the hook for a lot of his money this year because of dead money, dead cap space. So who knows what they're going to do. I am not excited about a rebuild, but I understand it. This should have happened 3 years ago. The one thing that I am excited about is if Greer is as good as Stephen Ross believes he is, then we're at least we have a leader. And I do like the idea that the coach doesn't have final say on the roster, because some of the moves that are made just for these 30-something guys clearly reek of a coach wanting to win, not a personnel department who's been scouting all year wanting to take the best players.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, so a lot is going to be changing. One of the other things I want to talk to you about that I was the most excited about was in the week 16 game, our last home game against Jacksonville. They did let the team one additional time wear the throwback jerseys and do the end zones orange like they used to be in the Orange Bowl when I went to games as a kid. What are your thoughts on the throwbacks being the permanent jersey? Because I think it's a no-brainer. And if you're Stephen Ross and you're trying to energize a fan base behind, hey, this is going to stink and hurt for a couple years, why not give the fans what they want with the old jerseys, right?
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of like people that really like these jerseys and would really like us to use them full time, and that increased jersey sales. And it's not like anyone's too permanently attached to the current jerseys, because the current ones really aren't that good. They're just aqua and white with different shorts.
Well, and the other thing too, Landon, is half the players that people have jerseys are going to be gone anyway. So let's run through your jersey lineup right now, okay? Can you tell everybody which jerseys you currently own? I know you have a couple that are not even on the team at this point, but what are the jerseys you currently own?
I have Jay Ajayi from last year, Jarvis Landry from 2 years ago. I have Ryan Tannehill. I have Javian Howard, and I have Minka Fitzpatrick.
Okay, so your last two guys are safe. So you have your defensive guys lined up. I think that Tannehill's gone, and I don't think it's even a question, not even worth debating. He's gone. So basically, of all the jerseys you have, you're down to a cornerback and a safety, because I think that Minka will end up moving into some type of safety role. What do you think about of guys on the roster right now? I think you've got to just wait, right, to see who's you'd be crazy to buy another jersey of a team now, because who knows who's going to be left on this team.
Yeah, and one of the few players I think will be on this team is Kenyon Drake, but you never know because he's a running back, and he could be a nobody in 2 years because we pick up someone else and he's much better. Because running backs are the most inconsistent position ever. Because you can find someone off free agency that's better than someone you drafted in the first round.
No, you're right. You're right, and that's why I hate when they make picks with running backs unless they're game changers like Saquon Barkley or Todd Gurley or stuff like that, and those need to be in the right situations. So I think we're all in agreement on the quarterback. I think the quarterback is going to be so tough this year. I mean, it's we're certainly not scouts, and it's so early in the year, it's going to be hard to tell what's going on. But you're going to have to look at the kid from Ohio State. You're going to have to look at the kid from Duke, the kid from West Virginia, and the kid from Missouri. Are there any of those that you have seen that you like? And but if you like or don't like, and give us a reason why, not just some random thought.
I don't like any of them, and I really haven't seen much of them, but I haven't seen anything that I like, if that makes sense.
Well, I'm going to watch the Rose Bowl today before I get on my plane as much as I can and try to see Ohio State, because I liked him in the Big Ten championship game. I thought he threw a couple really, really, really good balls, and he seemed like he can move. And seemed like he body language wise was pretty popular. What I just don't want them to do is just to draft someone, but they've got to believe in it. They've got to be all in and understand that this is the guy. Cause Buffalo clearly was that with Josh Allen. Well, other teams clearly weren't. And I would be excited if Josh Allen was my quarterback. That guy's big. He's strong. He can throw and he can run. I mean, he's had 100-yard rushing games 3 or 4 times this year. And they just believed in him. They believed he was the right guy for their system. And that's kind of what we've got to do. The good thing is, Landon, that even if Frank Gore does leave the Dolphins because we decide we're going to get younger and we don't want progress stopping, you do have Ballage and you do have Drake that'll be there. So you have the foundation at least for a solid running game. I would probably re-sign Juwan James if you can get him at a reasonable number, especially if you cut a lot of these older veterans. And then you have bookend tackles of Tunsil and James that could be there for the next 6, 7, 8 years. That's a pretty good set. And so for a young quarterback, you know, you're going to provide him with some type of security. I do think the tight end's a mess. Hopefully Gesicki will have a good offseason. The wide receivers are what they are. But if Albert Wilson's back, Jakeem Grant's back, if Kenny Stills survives the offseason purge, at least you'll have some guys who are experienced in the NFL to make some catches. But you can always find wide receivers. I think Devontae Parker's gone and good riddance. But I just think that this quarterback was going to be interesting. I know you really like Tua. Can you talk why you like Tua so much? And do you think what he does in college will translate to the NFL, or do you think he's just a good college quarterback?
Well, I feel like he's almost an upgrade upon Lamar Jackson. I feel like you've seen him run. He makes plays on his feet, and he just really learns the system really well. He knows what everything and everyone's going to be doing on a play, and he improves upon it by his own running ability. And throws the ball 34 yards down the field, like 30 to 40 yards down the field for a complete touchdown, wide open. Like, he looks like a better Patrick Mahomes from what I'm seeing.
Well, I think that's going a little too far. Patrick Mahomes is having a historical NFL season, but that's the fun part of having a 13-year-old on this podcast. You get stuff like that. Yeah, I'm interested. I mean, it's to me, it would be fascinating for the team to basically come out and say, we're going to take, you know, because 13, you're not going to get your first choice of quarterback because he's going to be gone before you. And you have teams ahead of you that need quarterbacks. You know, Jacksonville desperately needs a quarterback. Tampa says they don't, but, you know, we'll wait and see what happens with that. Giants right now, if Eli leaves or even if Eli stays, I still think they need a quarterback. There's a couple teams ahead of us, so you're going to have to jump up to do it. Or you could take the best defensive lineman that's available, and there'll be some good ones. You know, at 13, you could do that and then just kind of, like you said, start this process of losing. And then next year's quarterback class, you're going to have Tua and the kid from Oregon. So if nothing else, you're going to have those two guys. And if you're further up the draft board, if you're picking in the 6 to 4 range, it's easier to go up and get one of those guys. Maybe that's the strategy, Landon.
Yeah, I would like us.
All right. Well, it seems like we've lost Landon, so I'm just going to walk over next to him. And we'll just do this part on my phone. We'll just pass it back and forth because I think Landon's phone just died. So that's okay. But, all right, so we're back. Sorry if there was a little bit of it seems like it still is. So we're going to wrap this one up here in a second. But, you know, tough year for the Miami Dolphins. Hopefully things will get better. Give me three hopeful things, Landon, to look forward to as we approach the off season.
Excited to see a culture change. I feel like we're finally done with just signing older players to be fill-ins for a year or two. I'm excited for that to stop. I'm excited for the draft because I feel like this team will have something special if we get a few good youngsters. We already have some players we can build upon. And I'm also excited to see what new head coach is going to be and what he can do for his Miami Dolphins franchise.
All right, Landon, what I'm not excited about is we lost our bet to Mike. Mike went perfect in the last week. We did not. So, Mike, we owe you a Syracuse hat. Congratulations. We'll try to find the ugliest Syracuse hat we can have. Now, Mike, pick one out, and we will happily do that. Landon, what are your thoughts going into the first weekend of the playoffs? There are four games. Who are you looking forward to getting out?
I want to see the Chargers make it out because I feel like they're almost an underdog because they have to go on the road three times if they do want a Super Bowl. And I feel like they're almost better than the Chiefs right now. Super Bowl coach Mahomes is younger. He doesn't have any experience in situations where you have to be near perfect to win the game. And I feel like Philip Rivers is better. The only thing that worries me is Melvin Ingram's injured. So that's almost a pretty big downside for them because that's their key running back. Melvin Ingram, not Ingram. But he's injured, and I feel like that's going to be one of the biggest downsides or only downsides. But I feel like this Chargers team is really strong, and I'm excited to see them play.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to the playoffs next year, or in 2 years or 3 years, whenever the Dolphins get in it, because we are due. If nothing else, Landon, we are due to have something happen. Thanks, everybody, for listening all year long. We're going to do shows. I don't know if we're going to do them every week, but we'll try to keep going as often as we can. Whenever there's news, we'll certainly try to do one. We'll have Landon start breaking down the draft and give his draft picks. Once we have a coach, we'll give some comments on that. But really, we've enjoyed doing this pod more than you guys know, and we appreciate everyone listening. So I'm going to let Landon sign us off.
This is episode 24 of the Landon and Jeff Show. I'm Landon.
I'm Landon's dad, Jeff. Thanks, everyone, for listening.